Tonight's lesson is entitled, Certain Terrifying Judgment. Sounds scary, doesn't it? Kind of is, but the name of the lesson, I guess, signifies kind of a wrong direction with what we're going to go with tonight. But there will be a certain and terrifying judgment for some. This is W.C. Fields. I didn't make the font big enough. Sorry about that. But he was a famous vaudevillian actor. He was an avowed atheist, and he was a lush drunk. He would often have a flask that he would put martinis in, and he would call it his pineapple juice. And he would sip on that and say that he was getting his pineapple juice. Well, a smart aleck once took his flask, poured out the brain remover, and decided to pour pineapple juice into it. So he was heard to have sipped it and said, "Who put pineapple juice in my pineapple juice?" One thing that he also did as he was on his deathbed is a friend walked in to find him thumbing through the Bible, which was confusing to the friend because W.C. Fields was an avowed atheist. And he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm searching for loopholes." I can tell you tonight, there are no loopholes in the Bible. We're either obedient to the truth or we're not obedient to the truth. Our first point this evening is going to talk about fair judgment coming. Again, I'd like to apologize for not making the font size large enough. But this is a picture of Dante Stallworth. Dante Stallworth was going out celebrating his $4.5 million contract with the Cleveland Browns. Couldn't pay me $4.5 million to live in Cleveland. But he was getting paid that much to go play football in Cleveland. At this celebration, he got intoxicated, got behind the wheel of a motor vehicle, ran over a construction worker, killing him. His response to this was no jail time. He lost his license. He had to do 1,000 hours of community service, and he paid money to the family of the man that he killed. Then we can look at Plaxico Burress. Plaxico Burress had one of the best catches in Super Bowl history. Plaxico Burress is a tall fella, and he jumped up and caught it right above his head. It was amazing. He had taken a gun with him to a nightclub to protect himself. And that gun happened to be a Glock. I don't know much about guns, but from what I've been told, Glocks don't have a safety. And as he had the Glock in his waistband, it started to slide. So he tried to catch it and shot himself in the leg. Shot himself in the leg with his own gun. This caused the police to raid his home where they found more guns. And he accepted a plea deal for 2 years in prison. A plea deal to spend 2 years in prison. Drunk guy kills someone, no jail time. Shoot yourself in the leg, 2 years in prison. This is our American justice system. I mean, there have been good that happens, but there's negative that happens. But the root of the problem, no judge that we have is perfect. No jury that we have is perfect. But on the day of judgment, we do have a perfect God who will be our perfect judge. We're not going to need a defense. We're not going to need a prosecutor. God knows all, and He will be the end all. God knows. God desires that we are obedient to Him. As Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 reads, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" To sin is lawlessness. We consider that there are good people who are outside the doors of our building this evening, who aren't being obedient to God's plan. They do good in the community. They do good for their fellow man. They might even take care of the environment and go green. But if they're not obedient, I didn't know that was funny. Guess it is. If they may, they can do all of these good things, but if they're not obedient to the Word of God, it's all for naught. No amount of good works that we do can wash away one sin. God's judgment is going to be precise. Now we need to remember why God sent His Son. John 3, verses 16 through 18. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. We consider why God sent Jesus, and it was to save us. It was so that we would have an opportunity to go to heaven on the day of judgment. We have a perfect God who has done everything in His power for us to have the sin washed away in our lives. The day of judgment, there will be no mistakes. The day of judgment, there will be no appeals. The day of judgment is final. If people truly feared the Lord as they should, there would be one church or one congregation, and everyone would attend services. But we can look at our denominational friends, some who want to look back to the Old Testament, and they say, but God was a wrathful and angry God. He was a mean God that said and did things that we don't approve of under our current moral code. So they view this dispensation that we have under Christ as a do whatever you like, as a free for all. I am saved by grace, so whatever I do is washed away. Reverence was demanded from God in the Old Testament, yet we have some that believe that they can show up in their PJs and their flip-flops and their shower caps if need be. And they can just come in and sit in God's lap and play in His beard and ask Him what they want for Christmas and things of that nature. God is the same today as He was yesterday. The God that demanded obedience through the patriarchal dispensation, through the law of Moses, also is the same God under the Christian dispensation. We must be obedient. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. God is a loving God, so we shouldn't be afraid in the sense of we're scared to go to worship. When we say that we fear God, that is a respect. That is a healthy respect. Sometimes I don't like the limited nature of the English language, because it's like you look at the word love. I love my wife, but I love hot dogs. And now there's a great big difference, I promise, of love that I have for my wife and my love for hot dogs. In the Greek, and I'm sure in the Hebrew, there are many different variations of the word love. We look in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us all from sin, or from all sin. Our second point this evening, actions have eternal consequences. Actions have eternal consequences. There are some of our denominational friends who will say that, well, there's no such place as hell. There's no such place as an eternal place. place. Cough and you say the same thing over and over, I guess. But there is no such place that God would send those who are lost away from him for eternity, because that's not loving. Well, we consider what God demands from us, and we consider what the Bible says in these next few scriptures. Eternally, there will be a heaven, and there will be a hell. Cough for emphasis. And those will both be eternal. There were some of our denominational friends who knocked on me and Lisa's door when we lived in Arlington and were telling me how hell doesn't exist. So I pulled up some scripture, and of course they didn't like what I pulled up. And finally I said, okay, I'll play your game. I'll play your game. If hell doesn't exist, why do right? Why should I do right if there's no punishment for doing wrong? You know, what if I don't want to spend an eternity in heaven? And the way some people make it sound, why would I want to spend an eternity wearing a white gown and sitting on a cloud with one of those little harpsichord dealies? The harpsichord's the piano. Harp is the other thing. There we go. Took a second. Not Lurch from the Addams Family. Not one of those harpsichords. Heaven's going to be so much greater than that, but that's a different sermon in entirety. So I asked, well, why do right? Why can't I just do wrong and just not exist? I'm going to have a lot more fun. I'll just sin until I die. And I thought there would be a response, and all I got was dirt to dirt. No response to it. If we're going to believe in an eternality of a place so amazing words can't describe, on the flip side, we have to believe that there's going to be an eternity with something that's not pleasant. Matthew 13, verses 41 through 43, the Son of Man will send His angels, and they will gather out His kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them in the fiery furnace. In the place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. In the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Doesn't sound like a place that doesn't exist. Matthew 25, verses 41 through 46. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, for I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Same Greek word for eternal punishment, eternal life. Well, punishment and life are different Greek words, but the eternal is the same Greek word. In Mark 9, verses 43 through 48, and if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. We have the same eternality of heaven that we see in Scripture of hell. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Then we look to Hebrews 4, 13, and no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. we will stand before God. Every deed will be judged. We can't hide from God. Cannot hide from God. So we consider what's going to be on the day of judgment. I'm a football guy. I love football. And I like to watch games in their totality. I'm an Arkansas Razorbacks fan. A little bit tough to watch games this season and last season. A couple of seasons ago, though, it wasn't all that hard because we were winning. But if you watched a game, you could see all the good things that they did, as well as all the boneheaded mistakes that they made. But when SportsCenter came on, or if they made an Arkansas highlight tape, every good play that they did showed up. I like to consider if we've reached that age that we're accountable for our sins, where when we're obedient to the gospel, the sins are washed away, the negative plays, the interceptions, the fumbles, those are gone. All that's left is a highlight reel. But if we haven't obeyed the gospel, every mistake, every mess up, everything that goes on will be seen before God. Everything that we do will be before God. That's why I love when we repent, our sins are thrown as far as the east is from the west. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27, the root for our lesson this evening. For if we go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. If we've been obedient to the gospel and decide, you know what, don't care, I'm going to sin, we've got to have a fearful expectation of judgment. To know if we're going to go in direct opposition to God's Word purposefully and not repent of that, we will have a certain and terrifying judgment. So the key point of the lesson this evening, the judgment day, will be a day of rejoicing for those who've obeyed the will of the Father and are right with God. Is there certain terrifying judgment for those who've been obedient? No. In all honesty, I mean, if it wasn't for the lost, I'd like to go now. I want to leave this world where you cough during sermons that you've prepared. I want to be able to go to the and listen to God and worship God and go to a place that is so amazing words can't describe. I want to go there. If you don't think that's where you would end up, you need to be terrified. You need to be scared. And I don't say that for you to crawl out to the car with your tail tucked between your legs. Do something to fix it this evening before it's eternally too late. So the conclusion of this lesson, there will be a judgment. We must have a respect for God and God's Word because He is the perfect judge. We're not gonna have the imperfect justice system that we have in America and other countries. We have to understand that our actions have consequences. They can be positive or they can be negative. Every unforgiven deed will come before God. If you're struggling with something, if you need us to help you, if you don't want to come forward, meet us in the back after services. Do whatever it takes to get right with God before it's eternally too late. If you're not a Christian, I encourage you to become one. The best news that can be shared with someone is how to become a Christian. If you've heard and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're ready to repent of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, and being immersed into the watery grave of baptism to be saved, as 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 states, I encourage you to be obedient to the gospel. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.